I'm Sikin Lee. And I mean, do you ever find yourself worrying that you might get hit by lightning? Or do you lose sleep every time you have to fly somewhere on a plane? Are you convinced that if you keep buying lottery tickets, one day you'll win? Do you find yourself saying, what are the odds I'll get doored on my bike when I'm riding around downtown? I certainly ask myself that one. Well, we decided to ask probability expert Jeffrey Rosenthal. Now, he's a numbers guy, and his area of expertise is statistics. Jeffrey often gets called upon to crunch numbers in things like lottery scandals. He even wrote a book called Struck by Lightning, The Curious World of Probabilities. Now, the guy knows a thing or two about math, plus he's a comedian. Jeffrey, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so first of all, would you define what you think probability means?
Well, it's kind of the systematic study of randomness and uncertainty. So whenever you're not sure what's going to happen next, well, maybe there's a certain probability of something happening next. So there's a whole mathematical theory of probability, and it's related to statistics, and it's all about trying to understand uncertainty and trying to quantify it. Instead of just saying, well, I don't know what's going to happen, you say, well, there's a 20% chance of this and a 30% chance of that, and trying to be a little more systematic about it.
Interesting. Okay, so, I mean, what do you find most fascinating about this aspects of the numbers game?
Well, there's so many things, it's a little hard to choose, but I mean, I find all of mathematics fascinating, but in particular, probability theory and statistics, I find quite amazing because on the one hand, it has some very deep mathematical theory, and I can write some very technical math papers with lots of equations and theorems and so on, but it also relates so much to so many things in our daily lives. Whenever you're not sure if the bus is going to be late, or you're not sure if the airplane's going to crash, or you have a medical study and you're not sure if it proves that the drug's going to help you or not, these are all instances of uncertainty and randomness, and they can all be thought about in terms of the mathematics of probability and statistics.
It's always a gamble.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to fire some examples your way. Rapid fire some, questions I'm sure you're familiar with because people probably bug you about these life possibilities.
Okay.
And then tell me as soon as you can what you think of the likelihood of them occurring. Yes.
Okay.
You ready? How likely am I to win the lottery today if I buy a ticket?
Very unlikely. So something like the Lotto 649, there's about one chance in 14 million that your ticket's going to match the jackpot. It's so unlikely that, in my opinion, it's really not worth even buying a ticket.
Ka-ching! But who's making the money?
Absolutely.
Not you.
Yep.
Okay, so am I more likely to get killed riding my bike or driving my car downtown?
That's an interesting question. So there's more automobile fatalities than anything else, but it's true that if you're riding your bike downtown, that's pretty dangerous. I haven't looked at those numbers specifically, so I would say either way, if you're downtown on a car or a bike, you better be pretty darn careful.
Wear a helmet. Go! In a thunderstorm, what are the chances that I may be hit by lightning?
Right, so that's a good question because, of course, the title of my book is Struck by Lightning, so people ask me that all the time, and the reality is we have pretty good statistics on the chance of being killed by lightning. It's about one chance in 6 million that a random Canadian will be killed by lightning this year, but just struck by lightning, one thing I learned is that lots of people have a story, oh yeah, I was up at the cottage and there was lightning and I felt a little tingle in my arm and I got a little lightning. So probably a lot more people than we realize are getting struck by lightning a little bit, but as far as getting killed, very unlikely.
So good to know, don't go near trees, right?
Well, that's right. If you're in a storm, try to avoid high things like trees that could conduct the electricity, yeah.
Okay. You know, it's interesting because, you know, we are inundated by so many fearful articles in the press that it's easy to get paranoid about that kind of thing.
Yeah, it certainly is. In fact, when my book first came out in 2005, it was right after the so-called Summer of the Gun in Toronto. So you may remember there was all this hype. There'd been some extra shooting deaths, and people said, oh, you know, Toronto has lost its innocence, and people are tripping over bodies, and it's so dangerous, and so on. And, you know, I'm in Toronto, and I want Toronto to have a good reputation. So I started looking into this a little bit, and one statistic that really kind of surprised me is that I looked for the year 2005, the homicide rate per 100,000 people. Turned out it's slightly lower in Toronto than it is for Canada as a whole. And what that means, if you take a randomly chosen person in Toronto, then they were slightly safer in 2005 compared to someone chosen outside Toronto in the year 2005. So I thought, you know, how does that fit in with this Toronto's so dangerous and Summer of the Gun and so on? And, you know, the police chiefs and the politicians were all saying how dangerous it was and all the journal articles and so on. And it really kind of hit me how different the perception can be from the reality. And in fact, the next year in 2006, the Toronto homicide rate actually went down again, and there weren't any headlines about Toronto's regained its innocence, and now everything's safe again. So there's just so much of an effort to sort of hype the dangers and
make sell more
afraid.
Papers.
Yeah, which often isn't really in keeping with the numbers when we just stop and look at what the real numbers actually say.
Good to know. Okay, so I'm curious about how accurate, the accuracy of probability and how it can be used to navigate our lives. Earlier, you were talking about weather forecasting. I know a weather guy. So many times we were like, hey, Harold, what's the weather going to be tomorrow? And so many times he gets it wrong. Yeah. And so many times people are like, hey, you weren't right. So, you know, he's causes quite a bit of stress, but, you know, it's not so easy to foretell. But, I mean, how accurate can these probability studies be?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of issues there. First of all, it depends, of course, what you're talking about, and there's some systems we can understand quite well and understand the probabilities and so on, but something like the weather is what we call a chaotic system. There's so many factors, and just, you know, little changes now can make a big change tomorrow and so on, so it is a very hard thing to forecast. The weather forecasters still do fairly well. They do better than people realize because people only notice when they get it wrong.
Yeah, then they're mad.
I always call them the ambassadors of probability because that's the probability you probably hear the most on TV and radio is, you know, hey, what's the chance it's going to rain tomorrow? And, of course, even if there is an 80% chance of rain and then it doesn't rain, that doesn't mean they were wrong. It just means that they got the estimate wrong from what turned out to happen. So,
yeah, there was extra humidity in the air.
Well, exactly. So it's a really hard science, and I guess they're doing their best, but it's not the easiest thing to predict.
What's the more concrete one, then? If weather is kind of irrational or chaotic, what are ones you can solidly foresee based on probability?
Well, I guess, I mean, you can at least compute the odds very accurately for things like, let's say, a game in a casino, where whether it's based on spinning a wheel or dealing cards or flipping coins or rolling dice, that those are things we understand quite well. We'll say, well, every side of the die has the same probability, and then we can compute the odds from there. And that's why casinos make a lot of money, because they know how to compute the odds and make sure it's slightly in their favor. And that's something that we can understand pretty well. If it's a question of making a bet based on whether it's going to rain tomorrow, that's a little more challenging.
So it always, you know, boils down to gambling.
Well, I mean, it's true. One way to think about probability and randomness is in terms of gambling. Like you say, you know, how much would you be willing to bet, or what odds would you be willing to take on this? That's your way of thinking about what the odds are and what the probability is.
And you have been called upon beyond just gambling and beyond the poker table. I'm curious, in your life, how has your knowledge of probability and statistics helped other people?
Yeah, well, I've been involved in some interesting projects of different kinds. In fact, I've done a couple of things for CBC people, including the lottery retailer scandal that you mentioned briefly that I was involved in with the Fifth Estate, and that was a case of uncovering cases where the retailers who sell the lottery tickets had actually managed to keep some of the winning tickets for themselves. So it comes up quite a bit. I've also done...
What did you do? You crunch numbers? And how did you discover? How did you reveal, expose this?
Yeah, so in that case, exactly, it was a question of looking at the numbers and looking at how many of the large lottery prizes had been won by people who worked in the retail stores, and then figuring out how many of them there were and how many lottery tickets they tended to buy and how many major prizes we might expect them to win. And then, well, they won more, but maybe they just kind of got lucky, and then saying, what's the probability that they would have happened by chance? And we said, no, there's actually got to be some people winning who shouldn't have. And sure enough, it eventually led to people being investigated for fraud and arrests and millions of dollars being repaid and so on.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you expose that one. What's another instance where your insight into probability and statistics help someone?
Well, I mean, of course, it's hard to know sometimes exactly what helps whom, but I have had some surprising reactions. One time, I gave a talk about my book, and then I was asked to sign a copy for someone later, which is pretty usual, but in this case, it was actually for their son, who had died of cancer, but apparently they had read my book to him while he was dying, and he had found it comforting to think about the randomness and uncertainty of the universe, and in particular, it got him thinking that it was just kind of random bad luck that he'd gotten cancer and it wasn't anything he'd done or there wasn't any cause for it. And apparently he took great comfort in that. So that was kind of a touching story that I hadn't expected, but a case where somebody actually appreciated thinking in terms of randomness.
Wow. Jeffrey, you're also a comedian on the side. How does probability play out when you're telling jokes in front of an audience as opposed to lecturing students?
Well, what I do is improvisational comedy, so that's where you're kind of making things up as you go based on usually an audience suggestion or what the other actors say, and it's not really the same as probability, but there is a bit of a connection because it's still got a lot of randomness in it. What suggestion are you going to get? What are the other actors going to say? If you say a certain line, is it going to work well? Is it going to be amusing? Is it going to be interesting? And I do sometimes think in terms of, you know, what's the randomness and probabilities involved here, and on the flip side, I think doing improv comedy has helped me to be a better teacher and lecturer, because when something unexpected happens in a classroom, let's say, then well, probably I used to get a little upset or annoyed and so on, and now, well, let's see if we can make it into a joke or make it kind of fun or just kind of go with the flow.
At least they can make fun of the teacher.
Oh, well, that's, I'm sure that happens a lot. That's different.
Thanks for coming to visit with me. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Jeffrey.
Okay, thank you.
That's Jeffrey Rosenthal. He's a professor in the Department of Statistics at the University of Toronto. And there is a very good chance that if you go to our website, you will indeed find a link to his, cbc.ca/DNTO.